is Resurrection Sunday. And for those of you who don't know, I am Pastor Aleem Bakari. I have the awesome pleasure of leading this church. And I am just so excited about what God is doing here through Connect Church. And man, I tell you, I wouldn't want to be anywhere else but with my fellow believers here at Connect Church. And so, as is our custom, while you're standing, go ahead and grab your iPhones, your iPads, your Bibles, and let's turn to 1 Corinthians. Let's turn to the 15th chapter. And I'm going to start at verse 12 just to get us started. If you have it, say, I have it. If you don't have it, say, hold up. First Corinthians chapter 15, verse 12 starts like this. It says, "Now if Christ is preached that he has been raised from the dead, how do some among you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised." Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to the throne of grace today. God, we just thank you for who you are. God, we thank you for this day, God, a day that we get to celebrate, God, the climax, God, of the most impactful event that has ever happened to this world. And that is, God, that your Son, Jesus Christ, God, lifted himself up out of a borrowed tomb, dusted himself off, God, and walked out of the tomb. And so, God, it's because that Jesus walked out of the tomb, God, that we have victory today. And so, God, I pray that this word today fall on the good soil of our hearts, not on the stony places and not on the rocky places, but on the good soil of our heart. So that, God, that this word, God, more than any other word, God, that this word, God, resonates in our heart, God, that it brings back a harvest. So, God, that we might be all that you called us to be, God. And so we just thank you for it. And God, I ask you one thing and one thing only, that is to wear me like a glove. Use me, God, for the very intents and purposes that you created me for, and that is to make your name great. And so, God, I just give you all the praise, all the glory, and all the honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Let everyone say amen. You can be seated. Today I want to talk to you from a sermon titled, Victory in an Empty Tomb. And this sermon idea that I want to resonate in our hearts today is that the resurrection is the anchor of our faith. And since I was formerly in the Navy, I understand what an anchor is. And an anchor holds you in place. It keeps you steady. And so I want us to walk away today understanding that the resurrection is the anchor of our faith. Every year around this time, between the end of March and the beginning of April, we celebrate, as we're doing today, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And this begins on Good Friday, and so we had a Good Friday service on Friday, and it culminates today on Sunday. And throughout churches around the world, all over the internet, Facebook tweets, I mean post tweets and Instagram posts, one of the most famous and life-giving statements ever uttered, and that is, he is risen. He is risen. The faith of every Christian around the world hangs on these three words. He is risen. Everything that we believe, everything we stand on, everything we hope for hangs on He is risen. The resurrection matters. And why does the resurrection matter? Because it's what separates Muhammad from Jesus. It is the resurrection that separates Confucius from Jesus. If you go to any of their tombs, the one thing that you will find, if you go to any of those tombs, is you will find their skeletal remains in those tombs. But when you go to Israel, as I've done, and several of us here have done, when we stuck our head in that tomb and looked around, there was nothing in the tomb. Because everything we hang on, everything that we believe hangs on, not just the death, not just the time that he spent in the tomb, but everything we believe hangs on the fact that Jesus was resurrected from the dead. And so this brings me to a very penetrating question, one that I've been wrestling with since reading this Corinthian passage. Made me think about this question. What if the resurrection never happened? What if it never happened? What if it's just one big hoax? What if it's a cruel joke? What if it never happened? And so as we look at this text in 1 Corinthians, we see the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul is dealing with the same situation. Some call it the Corinthian controversy, in that the Corinthian church, they were starting to not believe as they had before that the resurrection happened. They had been influenced from on the outside, and some people had begun to infiltrate them and to start to getting them to believe that, yes, Jesus' spirit went to heaven, but not the body. And so Paul has to write to this Corinthian church and to set them straight. But one of the things that Paul does, if you look at verse 12, Paul starts to give them, and he starts to paint this very bleak picture. What if the resurrection never happened? If the resurrection never happened, then we have no foundation at all. If you look at verse 12, Paul says this. He says, now, if Christ is preached that he has been raised from the dead, how do some of you among you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? He says, but if there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. What Paul is saying is, if the resurrection never happened, we have no foundation at all. If the resurrection never happened, everything that we believe come crashing down. Paul says we are on a shaky foundation if we don't believe the resurrection happened. He goes on to verse, the next verse, and he says this. He says, if the resurrection never happened, then he says in verse 14 through 16, he says, and if Christ has not been raised, catch this, he says, then our preaching is in vain. So all the sermons that I've preached, all the sermons that you have heard, Paul says, if the resurrection never happened, all of that has been in vain. And he also says, your faith is also in vain. He says, all of these sermons, all these conferences, all this time that you spend here at the altar, he says, all of that was for nothing if the resurrection never happened. He says, moreover, we are even found to be false witnesses of God because we testified against God that he raised Christ, whom he did not raise. If in fact the dead are not raised, for if the dead are not raised, then not even Christ has been raised. He keeps pointing out this. He says, if you don't believe in the resurrection, he says, the one who you have called Savior, the one that you have proclaimed to be Christ, he says, he wasn't even raised from the dead. Paul says, if the resurrection never happened, we have no foundation. We have nothing to stand on. And he says we also have no faith. He says our faith is fruitless. It's meaningless. If the resurrection never happened. He says, if the resurrection never happened, he says, your faith cannot be alive with a dead Savior. If the resurrection never happened. If Jesus is still in the grave, if Jesus is still in the tomb, then everything we believe, everything we do is false, it's phony, and it's foolish. If the resurrection never happened. He says, so if the resurrection never happened, he says, then we have no foundation, we have no faith, but then look what it says in verse number 17. It says this, it says, and if Christ has not been raised, please catch this, he says, your faith is worthless, and you are still in your sins. Wow, so all the time that we've been standing up and we have been saying, man, my sins are forgiven, that my sins have been cast as far as the east is from the west. My sins have been wiped away. He says, you are still in your sins if the resurrection never happened. And he says, the faith that you have is worth a $3 bill. It's phony. It's worthless. It's nothing. Paul goes on to continue to paint a very bleak picture. He says, if the resurrection never happened, he says, then we have no foundation, we have no faith, we have no forgiveness, and catch this one, we have no future. look at verse 18. He says, then also those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. And, you know, that's one of the things that we as Christians, we are excited about, is that when we funeralize, or when we when one of our loved ones go on to be with Christ, what's the foundational thing that we say is that we will see them again. But Paul says if the resurrection didn't happen, you won't even see them again. He says if the resurrection never happened, you won't see your mom or your father again. If you have children that have died before you, you won't even see your children again. Paul says if the resurrection never happened, then he says you won't see your granny and your grandpa anymore. Paul says if the resurrection never happened, you won't see your loved ones again. And, you know, for us as believers, man, that's foundational. That's the one thing that keeps us going. That's the one thing that holds us together when those we love have died before us and gone on to be with God. But Paul says, if the resurrection never happened, they're just in the dirt. Paul says, if the resurrection never happened, he says that heaven is a cruel joke that has been played on us. He says we have no hope, no everlasting life. Paul says we are lost forever. We're living a lie. If the resurrection never happened. Man, what kind of life would that be? I found this quote by one of my favorites, is Paul Lawrence Dunbar, and he says this. He says this about life. A crust of bread, a corner to weep in, a minute to smile, an hour to weep in. A pain of joy to a peck of trouble. Never to laugh, but the moans come double. And that's life. If the resurrection never happened, that's our life. Christianity without the resurrection is empty. What a terrible assumption. What a bleak picture for us. And I'm so glad that Paul didn't close up the book right there. I'm so glad that that wasn't the end of the story right there. I'm so glad that Paul didn't put up the pen. I'm so glad that Paul kept listening to God as he wrote the Corinthian church. I'm so glad that that's not the end of the story, and I hope that you don't believe that that's the end of the story for you. See, because some of us live this hopeless life because we have not found Jesus Christ, but even for those who have found Jesus Christ, sometimes we can get in despair, sometimes we can get into not having hope. But can I tell you this? Look at verse number 20. Verse number 20 tells the story. And I heard one person say that Paul, after he wrote verse 19, he says, like a trumpet, Paul just began to just write. He says, but now, Christ is alive. He says, but the fact is, Christ has been raised from the dead. Aren't you so excited that Christ has been raised from the dead? And that's not the life that we have to live, that we don't have a bleak future. We have a bright future. Why? Because Christ has been raised from the dead. Can somebody give God a shout of praise? That's why we sing these songs that we sing. That's why we can say what a wonderful Savior he is. Why? Because Christ did get up from the grave. And because Christ got up from the grave, because that stone was rolled away, and the angels told Mary, they said, he is risen. They said, he is not here. He is not here. And so because he lives, therefore my foundation is firm. Because he lives, Christ the solid rock on which I stand, my foundation is firm. I can be secure and know that, yes, there is a God, that Jesus Christ is alive. Because he lives, I know that my faith is genuine. I know that my faith is real. I know that it's not fake. I know that my faith is not foolish. I know that I have everlasting life. Why? Because Jesus got up from the grave. But because he lives, man, this is crucial. Because he lives, my forgiveness is accomplished. Aren't you so glad that your forgiveness is accomplished? Aren't you so glad that he's wiped away all of your sins? Aren't you so glad that that's not the true story, that we're not still in sin? I mean, I don't know about you, but I don't want to live a sin-filled life again. I don't want to live a sin-filled life. I want to know that I can go to God and repent, and he wipes away all of my sins. I want to know that he casts my sins as far as the east is from the west. If that don't excite you, I think you're in the wrong place. That church is up the street, but here at this church right here, we are thankful that we have been forgiven, amen? That our forgiveness is accomplished. And also, here's the crux of the story is that when I die, I know for a fact where I'm going to spend eternity, amen. I know that I have a future. I know that this is just, I'm just passing through. I know that this is not my home. I know that this is just a temporary situation until God calls me home or till Jesus come back. Whichever one happened first, I don't care, because my future is secure, amen. Because he lives, my foundation is firm. My faith is genuine. My forgiveness is accomplished. And my future is secure. But you know, I told you the title of this story, I mean, the title of this sermon is Victory in the Tomb. Turn with me. Jump down. Stay in 1 Corinthians. Jump down to verse 57. You see, here is where the victory is. Here's where the victory is. It says in verse 57, it says, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory through who? Through our Lord Jesus Christ. Our victory is tied to Jesus Christ. If Jesus Christ did not get up, we would have no victory today. Amen. If Jesus did not get up, we would be stuck in a bad situation. But because he lives, we have the victory. Amen. Because He lives, catch this, because he lives, we win. Are y'all sure I'm in the correct place here? Y'all sure I'm in the correct church here? Because that's the time to shout right there. We win. We win. No matter what happens to us, we win. If God calls me home right this second, I win. No matter what people say or do or whatever, I win. And this also tells me that the resurrection changes everything. It's the resurrection that changes everything. Because he is risen, we win. Because he is risen, he turns my negatives to positives. He turns my despair into hope. And he does this for all who receive Jesus Christ and trust in him by faith. And so today, as I close, I just want us to remember, I was very emphatic about how I pointed out, or how I attempted to point out, how bleak a situation it would be if the resurrection never happened. And so for us as believers, the reason this sermon, or the reason 1 Corinthians is so important to us, because the world that we live in now will try and tell us that the resurrection never happened. If you listen to people on the internet and all of these different groups and sects and all that, they will try and tell us that the resurrection never happened. That people have been playing a cruel joke on us. They will try and convince us that to be a Christian is to waste our time. But when we read scripture like we read now, and not only that we read scripture, but how has Christ transformed you? You see, that's the story that you tell when someone tries to approach you with the idea that your beliefs have no foundation. You begin to share with them what Christ has done for you. You begin to tell God's story. Because this world, just like in Corinth, will try to influence you. They will try to influence your kids. They'll try to influence your beliefs. And they make it all sound so good. But we know what God says. We know what happened over 2,000 years ago, that Jesus Christ was crucified, beaten almost unrecognizable, nails pierced in his hands, pierced in his feet. They stretched him wide. And they even pierced him in the side. And not only that, but they made him carry his own cross up this hill. And I traveled up that hill, and that's a cruel thing. They hung him on the cross. they placed him in a borrowed tomb. But the good thing is, he only needed the tomb for 3 days. Amen. He only needed it for 3 days. It's something about that three, boy, I tell you, but he only needed it for 3 days. And after that third day, it was time. It was time for death to be defeated. It was time for the gulf that was between God and man. The gulf was closed. Jesus was the bridge for us back to a right relationship with God. And so you can't ever, as a believer, forget the story. You need to tell it. Man, I'm so glad I said that. Now I see why Jewish people tell their children stories after stories after stories. And they pass those stories down from generation to generation. And I remember when I was in Israel, we were on a tour and I saw a group of kids, and there was this guy who was teaching these kids all of the history and just instilling in them. And that's what we do here at Connect Church. We want to make sure that we instill in our children, in our children's children, the story of Jesus Christ. Why? Because the resurrection matters. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're here today, I know that you think that you're here by accident, but I want to present to you today that you are here for a divine appointment. So if you're here today and you've not received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you want to have the foundation that we have, the faith that we have, and the future that we have, it's really simple. All you have to do is confess with your mouth, believe in your heart, and confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And so if that's you today and you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, all I want you to do with every head bowed and every eye closed, I just simply want you to just shoot your hand up in the air. Just simply just raise your hand in the air. We want to pray with you. I see your hand. I see your hand. So all you have to do, and let everyone, let's all say this together so that no one feels singled out. We've all made this same confession. Dear Heavenly Father, I am a sinner in search of a Savior. God, I confess that you are Savior, that you are the Lord, and I need forgiveness of my sins. Thank you, Lord, for accepting me and forgiving me. It's just that simple. Now let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you, God, for the hands that was raised today, God. God, I pray, God, that this word continues to germinate in our hearts, God. God, that we never forget, God, that we never let the story grow old. We never let the story grow stale in our hearts, God. Because, God, this is the foundation of everything that we believe. This is the crux, God, of what we believe. That you sent your son to die on a cross, to spend 3 days in a tomb, and to get up from there. And so, God, we just thank you for it right now. In Jesus' name we pray. Let everyone say amen. Can we give God a hand clap of praise for those who accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior?